chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night. A pair of jeans that fit just right and a radio.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, a little bit odd day and time, but that's okay. We always try to connect with him at least once a week if we can. Jimmy Patronis, our congressman from Northwest Florida, District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So tonight is the State of the Union address, and President Trump has promised, threatened, that it's going to be extra long. Last year was record-breaking, an hour and 40 minutes. what do you expect tonight?
So here's what, some of the situation is on the ground. You definitely have, when a Republican is in office, there tends to be a lack of attendance by Democrats. You know, and it happens, I'm sure it happened when Biden, this is my first State of the Union, but when Biden was in office, I'm sure there was Republicans that didn't come. So you have this type of combative nature with attendance. And so I think, you know, what I've heard is the Democrats are going to, you know, they've got gallery tickets, and they're going to load up the gallery with a bunch of, you know, Trump haters. And so, unfortunately, it's going to be combative. So I don't know, maybe that's kind of part of the president's defense strategy is, all right, well, I'm going to make this the longest speech ever. So, because once you sit in the gallery, you ain't leaving. So who knows? I mean, this could be just one way he just, you know, teaches them a lesson because of, you know, unfortunately, the partisanship that we have right here is just, it's just combative.
Yeah, it's kind of been funny to watch over the years, the evolution as the various forms of just passive aggressive enough protest that I won't get thrown out. You know, or,
exactly.
You know, or if exactly. You're Al Green, you do get not Al Green. Is that the representative from Texas that got thrown out that one year? You know, like,
you know, Al Green was raised in Fort Walton Beach.
Oh, OK. I didn't know that. Interesting.
It would blow you away. The number of members of Congress that have a tie to Northwest Florida. I've learned about a new member every single day as a tie to this part of the country. Anyway, go ahead.
Do you expect, because if President Trump just sort of stays on message, stays on script, and really lays out what he's doing, it could be a very effective speech for just explaining to the country things that they don't normally understand. But if he does his weave and dodge and prolong and long speech and all this stuff, it's going to be wonderful for his base, and the rest of America is going to hate him for the length and not be persuaded because they're not going to feel like he's explaining to them the things that could be effective. That's how I view it.
I think you're going to get a version of the president tonight that knows this is his opportunity to explain our wins that we've had so far.
Okay.
And we can go and reflect. He had a State of the Union in his first term that totally blew everybody away. And it's because that's not the version of Donald Trump they expected to see.
I remember that, yeah.
They're giving the State of the Union. Yeah, I mean, and it was, and we were all just blown away because he was so presidential. I still think that is the version we're going to see tonight, simply because, you know, he truly does care about our country. But he also wants to make sure that his legacy is reflecting the right things for working class folks, our veterans, and our protection of the Northern Hemisphere. So he is going to flex on peace through strength. Unfortunately, you know, as we were talking pre-show, you know, this tariff ruling by the Supreme Court has created a real wrench in things because he was able, he needed leverage over all these partners all over the world. In some cases, he needed leverage for strength. Some places, he needed leverage for cost of labor. Some is cost of goods. But he needed the tariffs to do that. When the Supreme Court blows it up, you know, now he's kind of got to go back and go with the temporary fix. And I think there'll probably be some explanation of that, but there's no two ways about it. He does have a lot of victories, especially when it comes to the peace he has created globally.
You know, it's an interesting point you make because I actually agree that, you know, President Trump is, you know, at his most effective when he has carrots and sticks and things to negotiate with. And he clearly viewed the tariffs as the stick that he could use to try to get out of other countries the fairness that he ran on and, you know, worked against and other things as well. And so he did. I think that, you know, those tariffs were the basis of a lot of the stuff that he was able to accomplish. And if those tariffs are not available anymore, a lot of those countries, I would imagine, would, you know, reconsider the status and the things that they did out of the fear that. On the other hand, his tariffs were illegal. IEPA does not justify them. He does not have the constitutional authority, the congressional authority to do them. I think the Supreme Court got it right. And it's frustrating to lose the benefits of him doing something illegal. But that's kind of his fault, too, for not finding a legal way to do it. You know what I mean?
Well, and just like the, I can't think of the, it wasn't Scott Bessent, but it was one of his other members of the team, you know, was saying that the president wore them out, that I need, you know, four or five redundant backup plans. And so this is why, you know, as you were saying earlier, the 10% tariff is in place across the board. As they go back to the drawing board to figure out how they're going to put, you know, square pegs in round holes.
Yeah, and the, you know.
I'm going to the State of the Union tonight. I'm so excited. I'm so proud to represent. You know, we've got an opportunity here to hear the vision of the president. So, I mean, it's a big deal. And I know he loves Northwest Florida. I'm going to post a photo in a little bit. Now, I don't know if people remember, but his third ever rally that he had when he campaigned in 2016 was there in Pensacola.
He came to Mobile, and then he came to Pensacola. God, like four or five times, I think, in 2016. It was a lot.
So he started off Mobile, then went to Biloxi, then he came to Pensacola. And I remember, I've got chills just telling you this, that it was standing room only.
Yep.
I mean, and this was in the infancy of his campaign. And it's not like he was doing a bunch of advertising. All he had was Twitter. But you could not move in the Civic Center. So, you know, I know he loves our part of the country. And so we just, you know, we're going to, you know, hinge on his love of our country, but I know his fondness in Northwest Florida.
Any movement on the shutdown?
Not really. You know, you had some flirtations with TSA pre-check and that stuff being shut down. And now that got reinstated and real, you know, rapidly afterwards. I think it was.
John's really happy about that, by the way, because he was getting ready to take a flight and he's worried that pre-check, he won't be able to go in the fast lane, basically. So he's very thankful for that.
Well, and so that's back in place. I think this will still be in paralysis. The Senate, I think, is supposed to vote on Thursday.
Okay.
So I heard, you know, Chuck Schumer's statement the other day on Twitter, and he was pretty bombastic. And look, they need to hold the line because their base wants them to hold the line. And now it's, you know, running up against the State of the Union. So this is about as of an ignition point they've got. So I think as soon as the State of the Union's over, they'll have a few more days to try to milk their standing in the way of, you know, they're also not funding FEMA and they're not funding the Coast Guard. So they're not funding Secret Service. But, you know, those issues there are separate and different from ICE. I'll remind you, ICE is funded through 2027. So what they're, you know, fussing about is not getting to the point. They want a policy change, not a funding change.
It's like ICE surrounding, but not ICE itself. It's such an odd little thing I agree with
that's
you. It's so weird. Let's talk a little bit about the VA because, you know, obviously we live in a heavy military area, a lot of retirement folks here, a lot of retired folks here. There's always challenges with the VA. It seemed like it was getting better, but I'm hearing more things recently that maybe it's not getting as much better. Then they kind of hokey-pokeyed on eligibility changes and apparently is not going away now. But what can you tell the, you know, especially the you know, veterans who get their services through the VA, what's being done to make it better, if anything? How are you working on this?
So, you know, the secretary came out, issued a statement on X earlier about changes to disability. And so what he essentially said is this new rule is going to determine disability and benefits received by the veteran. So there was, I mean, now there's on this portal that he established, more than 17,000 people have commented. Now the secretary is halting the enforcement of this interim rule. So, I mean, people have spoken. The VA said, whoa, let's, you know, realize that we may have, you know, moved into a sensitive subject. And so now they're really reevaluating this rule. And then he made it loud and clear, this is not going to be enforced anytime in the future. I know he's trying to find some ways to bring some efficiencies to the VA It's the single largest budget in the United States. And as massive as it is, it's managing people. And for those of you that are listening, managing people always can be a joy. Sometimes it can be also very difficult. But when you're talking about something as intimate and personal as your health, especially when it's tied to the sacrifice you made in service of the country, it becomes a very emotionally charged issue. And so trying to get somebody the treatment that they deserve when you're managing folks from Washington, D.C., all over the country with various clinics and hospitals, it's just a lot of moving parts that you hope would do the right thing, but it's people managing people, and sometimes people make decisions that aren't, you know, going to always, you know, be well received.
You know, you and I were talking before you got on the air here, and you made a point that I thought was very good, that even with the community care alternative, you know, seeing a doctor in the regular community instead of going to the VA, there's still a sense among a lot of people that they just want the VA because it's a culture that knows their military, knows their status, deals with their people. And even if sort of objectively the care might not be as good or the wait times might be longer, there's still a kind of mom's cooking, you know, mom's not the greatest cook, but mom's the cook I know. And I'm going to go there because they understand me and I don't have to be just this, you know, random person. And I thought that was a good point too, that sometimes we're reluctant even to take the thing that might be better. Last quick thing, Jimmy,
and that's the same thing we dealt with with military when it comes to PTSD. You know, folks that are dealing with PTSD, they want to deal with a military counselor.
Yeah.
It's no different if you're a firefighter or a first responder. You don't necessarily want to get treatment over the phone. You want to deal with somebody who's trained in the treatment that has also worked in the profession. So this is exactly nailing what you just said.
Mexico is just a raging dumpster fire, literally cars and trucks and hotels and businesses on fire as the, like, post-death spasms of the military there having killed this drug head. And now we got Americans stranded in, you know, places you never think about this happening, like Puerto Vallarta, you know, where people are, you know, literally going out on the water to escape the chaos to watch from a boat as the city burns. What do you make of this?
Well, somebody posted on social media the other day, and I shared it. Man, this is a good time for Trump to invade and take over Baja and make it, you know, an extension of Florida. I mean, it's a mess. They've got serious problems in Mexico, and now the pot is boiled over. People in the government is sick and tired of the drug cartels. Look, I went to the border in 2024. It was nothing about humanitarian escape for these people. It was the cartels moving drugs, guns, money, human trafficking across the border. So now what's happened is Trump is now strengthening the southern border. You have got these cartels that are still trying to find ways to get their products out. And then Trump goes and then it goes after Venezuela as a supply point. So you have got a cartel business right now that is being attacked from multiple sides. So now the Mexican government decided to make their strike. And this was like, we've got to make a stand. And this is Jimmy's opinion. And this is why you've seen the retaliation the way it's been.
Yeah.
You know, we have allowed these cartels to just grow unrestricted over the last 4 years under the Biden administration. And they have slowly grown. But I mean, these guys have sophisticated operations in the United States.
Right.
So, I mean, as you, the good thing about it is you start to cut off the drugs, you cut off the guns, you cut off the money. You know what happens to their business centers around the United States? They dry up and go away.
Well,
and this is where capture these bad guys and ship them out to.
Yeah. I mean, and one of the interesting analysis pieces that came out of that big hearing in Congress 2 weeks ago, the DHS, where they had all the CBP and folks in there and ICE, was the analysis that they depend on the human smuggling side, they depend on the illegal immigration side as a mechanism to cover, distract, and facilitate the transfer of the drugs and other things. And, you know, that part of the element of getting rid of all the illegal immigrants is that you're taking away one of the key business strategies of expanding their power into the United States. And so it's not just about them being here illegally. It's about, this is a way to starve the cartels, which I had never heard that piece of analysis before, but I thought it was right on track. Jimmy Petronas, we're just completely out of time, but we'll look forward to seeing pictures. What's that?
You control the knobs. Why are we out of time? You control the knobs. Just add more time.
Talk to my manager, my salespeople, my traffic person.
All right, buddy.
Jimmy, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week, sir.
See you.